It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void. We're prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome, episode 589 of the Talking Friars podcast and YouTube show. Ben Fadden with you here. It is April 21st, 2024. Padres, they dropped 2 out of 3 against the Toronto Blue Jays. They had won 3 consecutive series in a row. Cubs, Dodgers, Brewers, but were not able to win this series. The offense didn't do a whole lot in the first 2 games, and it's not like today's win was that convincing either. So it was a disappointing series. I mean, when you're at home, it's not like the Blue Jays are the best team in baseball. Shoot, you just came off of beating the Dodgers on the road in LA. And to be like that, I don't know if flat's the right word, but just be like that unmotivating, uninspiring, I guess, the first 2 games. 3 runs combined in those 2 games, and then you date it back to the last game of the Milwaukee series, and you score none when Michael King has an amazing outing. Now today, cool. Yeah, they scored 6 runs, but even on those runs, it wasn't like all of them were, oh, great, a great hit there, great base running there. Like, they really made that run. It was really the Blue Jays handing them some runs. So I'm not really like that excited about what happened this weekend. I like that Xander Bogaerts had a home run today, and he had a 2-hit game. I love Tatis's catch that he made in right field today. I love that they won the game today and they didn't get swept. I love that Joe Musgrove had, I thought, a pretty darn good outing considering how he has started this year. And he ends up going, 7 innings today? And given up 3 runs. And early in the game, he only had 2 hits allowed on the board, and those were just the 2 solo home runs. Padres, they still left 9 guys on base today. 1 for 5 with runners in scoring position. But getting back to Musgrove, 7 innings, 3 earned runs, didn't walk anyone. 3 strikeouts, which I wasn't like keeping track of the strikeouts during the outing today when I was at the game. I thought he had more than that. But, I mean, the fastball, I believe it's down a little bit from what it usually is. So I don't really know what to make of that. Like, today, I was not watching on TV. So for those that were watching on TV, please let me know if I'm wrong. But it seemed like with Joe today, he was really trying to throw that fastball up, pitches up in the zone. That was like his focus. And first inning, right out of the gate, quick inning there, got Springer. I mean, Springer swung right at the first pitch and, all right, thank you. We'll take that. One pitch, one out. There we go. And that's, you know, that first inning really is what started him, allowing him to be efficient there. And I think once that first inning came through, it's like, all right, I got this. And sure, he gave up the home run to Davis Schneider, gave up the home run to some dude named Ernie Clement. I don't mean this to be like disrespectful towards Ernie Clement. Like generally, I don't know who that is. I've never heard of him. He was hitting over 300 and he's at the bottom of Toronto's lineup. That's literally all I know about Ernie Clement. He takes Musgrove deep. I have not seen the locations of those pitches, which I should probably look at right now, actually. Were those just middle? Were those missed spots? Were those hit spots? I mean, because there's been some times this year where a Padres pitcher has given up a bomb or something, and the location is fine. That's where Campy or Higgy, whoever is catching, that's where they wanted the pitch. So Schneider, that ball was just middle, 93. Ernie Clement in the top of the third. Whoa, fastball way up out of the zone. Like, I mean, that's where Campy was asking for the pitch. He wanted it up. I can't even really get on Musgrove for that pitch there. The Schneider one, okay, that's down the middle, but this Clement one, this ball was at his eyeballs, and he hits that out. Sometimes that's not on the pitcher. That's on the hitter for some reason swinging at that pitch because that was not a good pitch to swing at. I guess it was for him because he hit it out, but I don't think hitting coaches are like, yeah, go swing at those pitches. But to me, it just felt like Musgrove was really attacking that high pitch up in the zone today. And I like the bounce back outing. Now we'll see if he can do that again. I believe his next outing is going to be on Friday. I think that's what that would line up to be. Friday when the Padres are back here against the Phillies. So that's going to be interesting because we know the Phillies obviously have a talented lineup. So it's not really like, okay, Joe's back. That's not what I'm saying. But like we know the talent is there. Sure, we can be concerned a little bit about the velocity. I think the fastball was like 93, 94. It's not like, oh, wow, 97 blew it past him. That's not who Musgrove has been. So really what that tells you is he's going to have to hit his spots with the fastball. He's going to have to use those other pitches or work off the fastball if he gets ahead, use those other pitches or pitch backwards to guys if that velocity is not going to be super fantastic. So we'll see. I've not seen any post-game quotes from Musgrove to see what he has said about this outing, what Mike Schilt has said about this outing. I'd like someone in the media to talk with Ruben Niebla because the Padres coaches are now made available to talk to the media because they did not have that ability. The media did not have the ability to talk to Padres coaches before this season for some reason, but the Padres are allowing that now. I don't know if that's a Mike Schilt telling Preller and telling the Padres like, hey, I'm allowing this because coaches should be able to give their thoughts as well. Since there's that ability, I'd like to have someone go ask Ruben Niebla, what has he thought of Joe Musgrove so far? What has been the issue? Is there anything with velocity? Like, are you guys seeing that? Or is it, hey, I'm trying to avoid an injury? Because we've seen a bunch of pitching injuries. Am I trying to avoid that? So I'm not going to throw as hard. And I'm going to be like, thinking about that while I'm on the mound or like going into outings. I don't know. We'll see if Ruben ever has some quotes on Musgrove and some other guys in this rotation. You know, yesterday, I know I'm going to be all over the place. I might not go one like through every game specifically in super detail, but just when I'm on certain thoughts, like starting pitching here, Randy Vasquez got that opportunity yesterday. And there were some location issues. I didn't do a post-game reaction because I was not watching the entire game live. So I'm not going to go on here and give a reaction and act like I was. So that's why I'm doing giving my thoughts today on yesterday's game. Five innings, one earned run from Randy, only one walk. But he did give up a home run. But like, props to him for settling in. Like, it was early where he gave up those runs, and he wasn't that bad. It was the Padres giving opportunities to the Toronto Blue Jays. It was the fielding error by Graham Pauly, the throwing error that keeps the inning alive, right? Or that would have been the second out of the inning. Justin Turner strikes out the next batter. That's three outs, but instead that's only two outs because of the error. And then Dalton Varsho hit the three-run home run. And right there, you're playing from behind. That was a good thing today, was that the Padres, they weren't playing from behind. They got that 1-0 lead. It wasn't 4-0, but they got the 1-0 lead. It was 1-1. It was 2-1. It was not a four-run deficit. It was not a three-run deficit at any point today for the Padres. You know, Bogey with the home run makes it back 2-2. And then the Padres, they kept the lead from there 3-2. 4-2, 4-3, and then 5-3, 6-3. So, like, getting ahead is definitely important for this team. I know that they had that big comeback, 8-0 down, and they had that comeback against the Dodgers, but Schilt said this to the media this weekend. Like, we're not going to come back from every hole that we're in, essentially, is what he was saying. I'm not quoting him, but we're not going to be able to come back from everything. So, we can't keep putting ourselves in holes here. And that's what the Padres did. And they gave the Blue Jays runs in this game yesterday, I'm talking about. There was the Profar ejection. And I'll get to that here in a second. But then Azokar misplays a ball and left. Would Profar have messed up that play? That kept the inning going. That allowed the runner to get to third. And then a wild pitch scores the runner who was at third. IKF was at third. Scores him. You know, like little things like that, it added up. And then on top of it, you know, when the Padres, they have that opportunity late in the game, I want to say it was the 8th inning. Kim comes through. Where was it here? Campy with the double. Runners on second and third. And then it was Eggy. Eggy came up, grounded out, and it was a righty on the mound. And Schilt was not managing in that spot, but I believe they liked the matchup. I think that's what Schilt said post-game. And Eggy was having some good at-bats, and he grounds out. That kept it 4-2, and the Padres never got that great opportunity after that. Clement had a single, made it 5-2, and the Padres went 3-of-3 down there in the ninth against Jordan Romano. So kind of like kicking yourselves in the butt. You know, like that's what was happening there yesterday. And then in game one of this series, again, like Toronto, right out of the gate, early lead, 1-0. Kiermaier double. Tatis had the home run, but it was a lot of hits around the yard. The Bogarts double pump. I know he couldn't grip the ball, but still, it was a defensive mistake there. And that led to more, right? They called that a single. But after that, Vlad had a single, made it 4-0. Wasn't hit hard. I don't think that was the one that was hit hard. I think that was kind of jammed him there into center. Turner with the single, made it 5-0. He just rakes against the Padres. And yeah, like after that, I mean, it's the second inning there, going into the bottom of the second, and you're down 5-0 like that. Feels like the game's over. Now, I don't have that. Well, I have that thought and I don't have that thought, if that makes sense. Like, I have that thought that the game's over because it's 5-0 and I'm seeing how the offense is doing the last few games or last couple games, I guess, at that point. But also I'm like, well, it's still the second inning. It's not like it's the 6th or 7th inning. Now, that big comeback game against the Cubs, that was late when the Padres made that big comeback. They scored like all the runs in that inning to come back. So, I guess it could happen, but like it's not like I just said moments ago, those comebacks are not going to happen all the time. So getting yourself in a hole there, like the starting pitching needs to be better at times. The defense needs to not make mistakes. I'm surprised a little bit by some of the mistakes the Padres are making this season, kind of uncharacteristic stuff. And that's costing. And we saw, this wasn't the Padres, but in the Brewers series, right? The Brewers just making dumb mistakes. Today with the Blue Jays, walking guys with the bases loaded, catcher's interference, little things like that. that allowed the Padres to bring in runs. And it wasn't the most convincing victory, but what matters is wins and losses. And what matters is they did not get swept in this series. If they would have gotten swept, obviously I'm not saying like season's over, but you really want to talk about one step forward, one step back. Well, there you go. You win three straight series in a row, but then you can't finish off that sweep of the Brewers. And then you get swept by the Blue Jays. And now you have to go to Colorado, which who knows what the heck's going to happen in Colorado. And then you have to come back and play the Phillies, who have a good offense, obviously. And I don't know if they're going to have to face Wheeler. He almost threw a no-hitter the other night. So you're making it hard on yourself there, you know. And after today's win, the Padres are 12-12, so it's nothing like, oh my gosh, the Padres are one of the best teams in baseball. I was having this conversation with my aunt today at the game, and it's like the Blue Jays. I think it's comparable. We ask someone maybe that knows about the Blue Jays, are the Blue Jays good? They're not bad. If you were to ask that question about the Padres right now, are the Padres good? I think some would probably say they're not bad. There's good things about the Padres, but there's also been some bad things about the Padres as well. So give me your thoughts, obviously, in the comments. If you want to join the show, click that link pinned up at the top of the chat. For me, the takeaway for this series, the takeaways, it's not just one, is that one, Joe, I'm not giving up on him yet. Like, the talent is there. He can work his way through starts. Another quality outing today where he goes, and this was more of a quality outing than, I know he gave up two home runs, but this was more of a quality outing, in my opinion, than the Milwaukee Brewers start. He went longer, and I think he was more effective. He was better. He was more efficient today than he was in Milwaukee, even though he was still able to go six innings there. So I'm not giving up on Joe yet, that's for sure. We know Nando is still amazing, still super athletic. George Springer, by the way, remember when Tatis was at shortstop? He robbed Springer when Springer was with the Astros in 2020 with that great catch in shallow left. And then he robbed Springer again, this time Springer on the Jays, this time Tatis on right, robs him of a hit in the gap. So we got that there. Hopefully Xander Bogaerts is going to start turning it around here, because they're going to need him. I forget who I was. Someone DM'd me on Instagram, and I was replying back to them. It was about, I think, where Xander needs to hit in the lineup. And bottom line, regardless of where he's going to hit, he's going to just have to be more productive, period. It's not that the leadoff guy has to be more productive. I mean, you want that. But no, we need Xander to be more productive, just period. I don't care where he's sitting in the lineup. If the Padres want to get where they want to be, then Xander Bogaerts needs to be better. And him hitting the home run today, almost hitting the home run on Friday, having the single, it wasn't a hard hit today, but just finding outfield grass. That's all that matters. We get it. Like, Padres fans, if you want to keep, you know, bashing Xander, I guess go ahead. But I've already said my stuff about Xander Bogaerts. I don't feel like going on another 10-minute rant about Xander Bogaerts. I've said I don't think he should be leading off. My opinion doesn't change on that after today's game, even though he homered and had another single. Doesn't change my opinion. I'd like to see Jackson Merrill there. I'd be okay seeing someone like Ha-Sung Kim there. With Merrill today, there were some key spots where, that's why it's like unconvincing, where it was what? Bases loaded, Merrill had that little swinging bunt in front. Just some opportunities to come through, and the Padres weren't able to do it, at least like satisfyingly enough. But it just wasn't like appealing to the eye. I think it was the sixth inning. Manny single, Profar walk, Kim walk, bases loaded. Yeah. Then Merrill grounds out, swinging bunt. And Manny was thrown out at home because he was obviously going on contact. Camposano walked. That's where they scored that run. That's right. Padres up 3-2 there. Camposano walked. Profar scores. And then there was the catcher's interference where It looked like Tyler Wade struck out, if I remember correctly. It looked like Tyler Wade struck out. Hang on, I'm waiting for this video to play to kind of refresh my memory. But it looked like he struck out, and it's like, all right, well, that's the end of the inning. And, I mean, not shocking. It's Tyler Wade at the bottom of the order. But you would have liked to add on there. Or, excuse me, he didn't strike out. A ground out. It would have been a ground out to first is what it looked like. But Wade swung. I didn't realize this because I was at the game, but you can see on the replay, he swings, ground ball to first. He immediately looks back at the catcher. So he knew that that was catcher's interference. And so the Padres get the run there. But like Pecco was confused. It's one of those things where, you know, the NFL, they announce things. I know that's when usually like flags and stuff. And umpires do it on review calls. But when it's something like that, because the Padres, it took them a little bit to put catcher's interference up on the Jumbotron. So you got a bunch of fans wondering what the heck is happening because they see the ground out. We can't see that it hit the catcher's glove. And they, I don't believe they showed a replay up on the Jumbotron. So we're all just sitting there wondering, why is this inning continuing when there was two outs and it was a ground out? And then we wait and see, oh, okay, catcher's interference. And why did we see that? Because the Jumbotron put it up there, not because the umpire announced it. Like, the, I just think you're trying to entertain the fans that are there, and the fans, I think, should they should get the information that, not as much, I understand that, but they should get the basic information that fans get at home. Fans can see, they get the replay at home, yeah, that's catcher's interference, because they show it. They weren't showing it at Petco. There was no announcement. So that's where it's like, you know, baseball, if you want to keep engaging people, just simple things like that, I think, can go a, maybe not a long way, but can go a little bit of a way. Mike Schilt, how about on Saturday? Let's get to the Profar Schilt thing. First inning, Profar strikes out. That was a strike. Now, I could see how Profar didn't think it was because you have so little time to react, obviously, as a hitter, and you're facing Jose Barrios. The dude's freaking nasty. And Barrios throws one inside, looks like it's going at him, and then it goes right back into the strike zone on the inside part of the plate. Hits part of the plate. That's strike three. The umpire made the correct call, and Profar's pissed off, slams his helmet, slams his bat. He says he didn't say anything to the umpire, and he was pissed off. He is, and he was saying, I've swung and missed and struck out, and I've thrown my stuff, and I was just pissed off at myself for striking out. You know, players do that all the time. And Profar doesn't say anything to the umpire, at least if you want to believe him. And it's not like you could see that he was saying something to the umpire. And so the umpire then throws him out after he throws his helmet down. And it's not like he threw it down right in the umpire's face. He turned and threw it down towards the Padres dugout. So he wasn't showing up the umpire. And then the umpire immediately throws him out. And it's like, dude, you have to have feel. Who was this home plate umpire? Roman De Jesus, I think. Yeah. Ramon De Jesus. And then Adrian Johnson comes in, the first base umpire, and he's yapping at Mike Schilt, being super aggressive towards Mike Schilt. And it's like, that's not necessary. And of course Schilt's going to get pissed off because you just threw out his left fielder, a guy that's hitting in the middle of the lineup. You just threw him out in the first inning of a game. And now we have to have Jose Azokar go play left field, which is a downgrade to Jurickson Profar. And obviously, later in the game, Profar isn't there in left field to make that catch. And Azokar is usually good. He gets turned around, doesn't make the catch. That leads to another run for the Blue Jays. And so it's just irritating. And then I don't know what was said from the umpire to Mike Schilt. Mike Schilt gets thrown out. Mike Schilt, we know what Mike Schilt said to the umpire. I mean, if you go look at the, I posted the video. I wasn't watching it live, but after I went and posted the video, and you could tell it was a bunch of FUs and a bunch of pointing at Adrian Johnson at first base. Like, Mike Schilt was pissed off. And then you see the shot of him going into the dugout or into the clubhouse down the dugout steps, and it looked like he like slapped the wall or something. He was pissed. So I don't know if it was something personal that Adrian Johnson said to Mike, or Mike was just pissed off that Profar is out of the game and he just took it out on the umpires. I don't know, but I love to see the fire from Mike Schilt. That was his first ejection as Padres manager. It just sucks that the Padres weren't able to go win that game. You know, that's what's frustrating, right? And then on Friday, Matt Waldron, 5 earned runs in 4 2/3 innings, only struck out 2 guys, gave up a home run. From what I remember, a lot of hits around the yard, 7 hits allowed. Bullpen did their job. Cosgrove, Kolek, Morahone, who pitched well, by the way. Gillespie, no earned runs, no walks either combined from those guys in the bullpen. 7 punch outs from those 4 in the bullpen after Waldron. But yeah, like that game was the Padres, they got down early. And what they just weren't able to do really anything after that. A lot of hits. Jansen, this is the second inning after Turner had that home run. Jansen double, Biggio walk, Kiermaier double, Bichette single, Vlad single, Turner single, Snyder hard line out to Merrill in center. It was just, I mean, Joe Musgrove had that in the Milwaukee start, I believe, in the first inning. So that's what that reminded me of when I was watching that and, you know, going back and reviewing this a little bit. Waldron, and I've said this before, he has to rely on location. He doesn't blow people away with the 97-mile-per-hour fastball and the knuckleball. It can't be spinning a bunch, you know? And it wasn't a lot of knuckleballs. From what I saw going back and looking at the swings, the hard-hit balls, it was just kind of middle over the middle of the plate, not hard velocity, obviously, and the Blue Jays were able to take advantage of that. Bogarts with a double pump, obviously, and that extended the inning. So just some mistakes from the Padres, uncharacteristic mistakes from a Mike Schilt team, and I'm happy that it's only April 21st, and that they've got time to clean this up, because we think of the Padres, right, obviously, as a team that doesn't make those mistakes. They're clean. I think Bogarts has been pretty good at second base so far. I'm not saying offensively. I'm saying just his adjustment to second base. And Kim, he's been disappointing a little bit at shortstop because we just have such a high standard for Ha-Sung Kim at short there. Not having Manny at third, that has stunk.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2. We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's been okay at third base. It hasn't been terrible. But just little things. Paulie with the throwing error, right? There's been some things this year where again, it's just uncharacteristic. And there's been some stretches of games where the offense hasn't helped either, right? Where the pitching does its job, but then the offense can't do it, or the offense scores five runs, but then the pitching doesn't do its job, you know? So it's, I was going to say, hopefully like they can start putting it together in Colorado, but come on. Can we really expect that in Colorado for the Padres to put it together? Have great pitching. I know it's the Rockies, but it's in Colorado. Like, there's so many weird things that happen in Colorado. You just don't know what to expect. It could be a 15-14 game. It could be, for some reason, a 2-0 game, you know, and no offense does anything. Huge outfield, which that's to the Padres' advantage, with Tatis out there, with Merrill out. Merrill's first time at Coors Field, so that's going to be interesting. Profar obviously played for the Rockies last year and didn't do that well. Didn't seem like that was the best fit for him. And they kind of threw him into games as well. Like, he didn't get a whole lot of spring training time. He got like 2 games in the minors and they threw him right in there because it's the Rockies. Like, Profar was their best option. So we'll see what Profar has in store against his former team that he was there briefly for last year. The starters for this series, so Musgrove was today, so that means that my Cease is tomorrow against Austin Gomber. That's at 5:40 Tuesday. Michael King against Feltner. That's at 5:40. And then Wednesday, 5:40, Waldron on the mound. Rockies are 5-16. So, yeah, if they don't win this series, I get it's Colorado, and I just went through that whole spiel, but if they don't win this series, there's going to be a lot of Padres fans that are going to be pissed off, right? By the way, this is a 4-game set, not 3 games. 4 games, no day off on Thursday. Randy Vasquez, 12:10 p.m. That's going to be the Thursday game. And then they fly back home, and then they face the Phillies, which should be an entertaining. I love when the Phillies come to town. Anyone that knows me personally knows that I was a big Harper fan growing up. And so I always loved seeing him come to San Diego. But hopefully the Padres can shut him down, shut the Phillies down Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then they host the Reds. And then they finally get a day off on May 2nd. I shouldn't say finally. I mean, they've had a day off every Thursday this month so far. So I shouldn't say finally. But their next day off is not until May 2nd, that Thursday before they resume, obviously, on the 3rd. All right, quick break, and then I will get to the chat. Check out Gaglione Bros' famous cheesesteaks and garlic fries on Friars Road. You can visit their website, gaglionebros.com, for their entire menu, and enjoy their cheesesteaks and fries at Petco Park and Snapdragon Stadium as well. All right, sorry, just had to get a drink of water real quick. By the way, before getting to the chat, I did forget to hit on this topic. Graham Pauly getting called back up, and Matthew Batten got sent down. That was the same day that Vasquez made that start yesterday, so he came up, obviously. He was activated, and then Gillespie got sent down after pitching on Friday night. Didn't give up any runs there. We knew that he wasn't going to pitch very much anyway, Gillespie I'm talking about. And so Pauly comes up, and I'm hoping that he's going to get more playing time, but then Tyler Wade was starting at third base today. You know, Tyler Wade, I get it. He can be a valuable piece, and he can play different spots. So, like, yeah, there's value there. Utility guy. And like Mike Schilt was saying, just because he is a utility guy doesn't mean he can't start. You know, he can just start in different spots. But I'd like to see Graham Pauly get the at-bats. Why bring this guy up? I get it. They're facing a lot of righties coming up here. But why bring him up if you're going to sit him on the bench? The first time around, okay. The second time around, it's only been 2 games, so I don't want to overreact and say, like, the Padres aren't going to play him consistently. They could play him for the next, you know, for the next 5 games. We'll see. But I'm just saying, you have Tyler Wade playing today and not Graham Pauly. You bring Pauly up the second time, he can't go back-to-back days when you bring him up. Like, why not? Why Tyler Wade over Graham Pauly when who was starting today? Chris Bassett? Like, why Tyler Wade over Chris Bassett? Bassett's a righty. Wade's a lefty. Paulie's a lefty as well. Tyler Wade gives you more value offensively. The guy has a 530 OPS. He's hitting 200. And he doesn't have the track record of Xander Bogaerts. So it's not like Schilt can go with that. He could say, well, 7-year major league vet. But what's the difference? And this is a genuine question. I mean, we don't really know the answer, I guess. But what's the difference between Tyler Wade and Graham Pauly and their two production levels? You know, like, what's that difference of Pauly hitting down at the bottom of the order or Tyler Wade? Like, where's the upside? Is there more upside in Wade or is there more upside in giving Pauly that shot? Right? Are we going to sit here blaming Graham Pauly for if the Padres lose games, or are we going to blame the big guys in the lineup? You know, the guys that have proven themselves. We'll probably blame Merrill more than Pauly right now, because at least, like, he has some track record of consistently playing, and he's been playing well, and our standards are high, I think, for Jackson Merrill. And understandably so, rightfully so, from what we've seen at the big league level, you know? So I guess my point is, I hope that Graham Pauly, and I think a lot of Padres fans agree, I hope that Graham Pauly gets consistent playing time. Please, Mike Schilt. Or else just send him down. I don't need Graham Pauly sitting on the bench. Let's get him at bats. See what he can do. I'm sure you guys are tired of me saying this, but, like, see what he can do. What is the downside of giving Graham Pauly every day at bats? Oh, he made a bad throw last night? Okay. Hopefully with more reps at third base, you will get more comfortable at third base at the big league level. But you can't get comfortable at something without doing it. Like, I'm a repetition guy. If I do something once, I'm not that comfortable in doing it. But if I do it again and again and again, then I'm more comfortable. You know, like with this show, for example, right? First show when I was, and I remember I didn't have this camera. I wasn't even doing it on my laptop. I didn't have a mic. I was literally recording my voice into my iPad and putting it, I think, on a voice memo and uploading it. This was when I didn't have the YouTube yet. Was I comfortable doing that, like, right from the get-go? Not really. I mean, I was talking about the Padres, so there was a degree of comfort. But hopefully you get what I'm saying. I'm way more comfortable now doing this on episode 589 than I was on episode 1 or episode 200 or episode 300. You know, it takes time. So hopefully, like, Pauly can get that opportunity. Because he hit, what, 290, had some homers in El Paso, which was his first experience in El Paso because he was playing in Double A. He had some moments when he got 15 at-bats here his first time around. I don't want to see another stint of 15 at-bats and him playing a couple times a week, and then the Padres say, well, not great, not great performance. Let's get you more some more at-bats down at the big league level, or down at the minor league level, excuse me. Like, that's not going to make me happy. Like, give Pauly that opportunity. If he sucks, then he sucks. Right? Like, if he doesn't do it, then he doesn't do it. He was given the opportunity, the consistent opportunity. It would be one thing if Tyler Wade still had that 400 on base percentage and he was off to that great start or surprising start, right? That he had the first, what, week of the season. That was like, okay, more understandable, but Tyler Wade's hitting 200. You know, is anyone scared of Tyler Wade when he comes up to the plate? I'm not saying pitchers would be scared of Graham Pauly because he hasn't proven himself at the big league level, but like Tyler Wade, he's just not that threat. He can be a useful piece to have on your team, but he's not the threat. Nobody is scared of, seriously, and this isn't anything personal against Tyler Wade. I think Tyler Wade knows the player that he is. And there's a reason why he's been in the big leagues for so long, for 7 years, Kurtz is 7 years. There's value having Tyler Wade. I'm not saying you kick him off the team. I'm just saying, like, give the guy with more upside the opportunities. All right, some of the great partners of the show before going to the chat. Breaking Tea. I don't know if you guys saw it, but I did post the picture of my new Mr. Relevant shirt that I just got from Breaking Tea. I am wearing it, by the way. I don't know if you guys can see this. but that's for the YouTube audience. Sorry, podcast audience, you missed that. But just go on to, or actually click the link in the description. And I believe go to the Slam Diego link. When you hit that link, you'll see Slam Diego. That's the Padres page. You'll see the Profar shirt there, and you can get that. There's been a good amount of Padres fans that have purchased that using that link. So I appreciate everyone for supporting Breaking Tea there. They make some great stuff. I got some compliments on the shirt at the ballpark today. People that were wondering, who made that? Where'd you get that? So the answer, Breaking Tea, Underdog Fantasy, 100% deposit match, up to $100 when you use code TalkingFriars. First-time users, click that link in the description, and same code for SeatGeek, $20 off your first order there with SeatGeek, with an email, the login. They tell you good value, bad value. So if you're going to a Padre game, the next homestand, before you go buy some resale jacked up price, go check out SeatGeek. All right, let's go to the comments here. Any questions, takeaways from this Padres series loss to the Blue Jays? Let me know. Tom says, when will y'all learn you're never going to win a World Series? Okay, so this is an opposing fan, obviously. Well, there's a first time for everything. At least I hope, right? With this Padres team. I mean, I don't know how many times I have to say when people bring that up. Like, hey, look at the Washington Nationals in 2019. They'd never won a World Series before. And they won. They were a wild card team. Right? Texas Rangers, were people expecting the Texas Rangers to go win the World Series? No. There are teams like the Astros where we expect them to go to the ALCS, to the World Series, and they go. There's a bunch of talent there. And sure, the most talented teams, usually they make the postseason for the most part. Obviously, there's exceptions like the Padres last year. But like, just get in. The Phillies, they got in, right? They make it to the World Series. The Kansas City Royals back in what year were both years wild card years? I think 2014 was definitely was. Maybe both years were. They make it to the World Series back to back years. The Kansas City Royals, you know, were people expecting that? Maybe in 15, but 14, were they expecting that? So really just get in. And I don't buy whenever someone says, you guys are never going to win a World Series. It's going to come at some point. Look at the D-backs last year. They didn't win it all, but were D-backs fans expecting to go to the World Series last year? Probably not. Probably not, you know? So things, it's baseball. That's part of what makes this so fun. There's other sports where it's like, yeah, Chiefs, they're going to be in the Super Bowl. You can kind of predict, like, yeah, that's definitely an imaginable matchup, right? NBA. There's surprises, but usually, especially when like the Warriors, for example, in their dynasty. Yeah, Warriors, they're going to the NBA Finals. Just, we don't have to play the playoffs. We know that's happening. And it happens. But in baseball, I feel like there's a lot of times where the experts or the predictions, the best teams in the regular season. I mean, how many years can we say the Dodgers, right? Where people are like, yeah, Dodgers World Series. What happens? So I don't buy that, Tom. Get in, see what happens, play good baseball at the right time, and the Padres could go to the World Series. They could go win the World Series. Maybe not as presently constructed, but obviously before the deadline, I would not expect the Padres to be silent at the deadline. You know, they have AJ Preller. Not going to be silent at the deadline, I would not imagine. But it's April 21st. We are a long time away from the trade deadline. Let's see here. JT Money says, great win. Just glad we're better than last year. I mean, right now we're 500. So I don't want to be like, we're definitely better than last year. It feels different for sure. And there's a lot of positives with this team. But I'm not here on April 21st going to sit here and say, yep, they're definitely making the playoffs. They're definitely better than last year. We just don't know that for sure. I like things that I'm seeing, the fight, certain personalities on this team, certain guys that aren't on this team this year. Having Mike Schilt as the manager, I think having the motivating having 2023 being motivating for them. Like, we don't want to crap the bed again. We don't want to embarrass ourselves again. Little things like that where it's like, yeah, I can buy it. Them competing with the Dodgers so far this year in matchups, like, I get it. It's April, but I'll take those encouraging signs. But at the same time, I'm not going to say that this team's definitely better. They're definitely in the postseason. They have the talent to. Got to put it together. Dave says, Ben, great job with the underdog fantasy selections. 5-1 for the series is fantastic. Keep it going and pad the bankroll. Well, Dave, you're keeping me accountable. I do not keep, I guess, the Underdog Fantasy app does keep track, but I don't keep track of how many I get correct in a series, how many suggestions I give, which get correct. But if that's what happened, I went 5-1. Great. That's awesome. Hopefully some people are using those suggestions. If they think that I know what I'm talking about, you can be the judge of that, I guess. And have fun. Have fun with those pick-ems. And it's not just baseball. For those that haven't checked it out, there's Padres, obviously. There's Major League Baseball. You can combine pick-ems. There's drafts. There's NBA. There's college basketball during college basketball season. There's NFL. There's NHL. There's golf. I don't know if there's golf every weekend, but like for the Masters, for example, there definitely was. There's soccer on there. Like, there's a lot of different things on there. So feel free to go check that out. Let's see here. John says, I think he's trying to say Manny Machado keeps finding strange and creative ways of getting on base and getting RBI. Yeah. Yeah, he hasn't. How many home runs has he hit this year? A couple? I think they've been all against the Dodgers. I could be wrong on that. 4 home runs. 3, I believe, are against the Dodgers. 741 OPS, 324 on base, 260 average. So it's better than what it was. Just looking at the game logs here. Wrong column. I was trying to look on how many games has he gotten a hit in a row. Not in a row, but let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. 13 of the last 14 games he has gotten at least one hit. According to the MLB.com game logs, that's impressive. And a lot of these are multi-hit games. So, I don't know if the fan base is talking too much about Manny. I feel like a lot of it's on Bogarts, a lot of the attention, which I understand. And the world that we live in is, you know, we go towards what's happening negatively, really. Right. And you bring up Manny, like, yeah, I want to highlight that for sure. I did not think that Manny was doing that well in terms of hits. Like, hit streak in games. That's impressive. And I haven't seen video. I know we saw it, what was that, last week of him throwing at third. I wonder what the progression is like there. It's getting towards the end of April. I think that's what the timeline was for Manny to go back and go play third base. So hopefully he is progressing there. But yeah, John, Manny's been impressive. Some fans might be like, well, he's supposed to be. It's Manny Machado. Look how much money he's getting. And you're right, but he got off to a little bit of a slow start. Tahir, yeah, thank you. Says, happy to have met you after the game. Big fan. Thank you. Much appreciated. Yeah, thank you to everyone that has stopped me so far this year. Said that they appreciate the show. Much appreciated, obviously. Caesar says, we have to take 3 out of 4 against the Rockies. I mean, yeah, like, the Rockies are garbage. We knew the Rockies were going to stink, but for the Rockies to have 5 wins this year, that's pretty bad. 5-16. Who are the worst teams in the league this year so far? Padres, by the way, never too early for the NL West watch, right? No, I'm kidding. It's way early, but Dodgers are 13-11. They're 3-7 in their last 10 games. I think they blew out the Mets today, though. Padres 12-12, a game back of first. D-backs are in third at 11-12. Giants are 10-13, and the Rockies are 5-16. So as a whole, the NL West, it's been a little bit disappointing this year so far through the first, you know, what are we, 24 games in for the Padres? 23 for some others. Who are the worst? So Marlins 6-17, Rockies 5-16, Cardinals 9-13. So yeah, the Rockies are the worst. Five wins, that's it. So yeah, taking three out of four. Like that's been a little bit of an issue with the Padres, right? Is not taking advantage of those easy series. Remember last year, losing series to the Royals, getting swept, I think, by the Pirates, winning like one game against the Brewers last year, not doing enough against the Rockies. And then you add that when you face the Dodgers, you don't do enough, obviously. It puts you in a big hole. It makes it hard. So just like winning the games against the A's, winning the games against the Rockies, winning the games against the Marlins, like doing things like that, how many more wins does that add on for the Padres? You know, last year they missed the postseason by two games. Do your job in those games, in those series, and you're going to find yourself in a much better spot. I'm not looking at it right now, but if I were to go look at the D-backs or the Phillies, did they have a better record against teams under 500 than the Padres? I would assume so. I would assume that they did a little bit better of a job of taking advantage of those bad opponents. And what happened? They got rewarded for it. They make the postseason. Anything else to talk about here today? I'm just trying to think if there's any... I'm just going back through these three games. If there's anything that I missed here... I mean, Jackson Merrill continuing to impress for the most part. Today was like the one I was thinking while I was watching the game today. After Merrill had first pitch, right? It was that bases loaded situation. Swing and miss by Merrill. And then I think he was just really anxious. Swinging bunt. Manny gets out at home, obviously, because he was running on contact because it was bases loaded. With Merrill, that was like the first time I was thinking this year, like I can truly get on Jackson Merrill for something. And he still didn't strike out. So it's not like, man, you can't be striking out in that situation. You got to swing the bat. No, he swung the bat. He put the ball in play. Now it was like 5 feet. It went 5 feet, but that's like the only thing that I can think of getting on. Or actually, no. The other thing was the line drive to second base today. And he was like past halfway from second to third. And it's like, in that situation, there's one out. You got to know the situation. I know he was probably trying to score and he was like, that's not going to be caught. Maybe he thought it was more up the middle than where it was. And he's like, I'm good. But he didn't freeze. He was off too far and it was an easy double play. Now, even if he froze, maybe he still would have got doubled off because it was hit so hard and it was at second base. But those two there, like not doing much in that bases loaded spot and then not freezing with one out in that situation there and then getting a double play, getting doubled off there. That's like the only times I can get on Merrill this season. So I continue to be impressed by what I'm seeing from him. Profar can't get back pick at second base like he did today. I'm just trying to think of some other things that stood out here. I mean, the bullpen, it's been pretty good. No earned runs on Friday. One earned run from Matsui yesterday. And then today, no runs. Peralta, Suarez. Wandy has a .82 ERA this year. Robert Suarez, 7 out of 7 in save opportunities, .93 ERA. He's pitching in any situation the Padres want him to pitch in. He's not saying, nope, one inning, save situations only. Like opponents hitting 161 off of him, .93 whip. this year, 0.90 whip last year. 9 2/3 innings from Suarez. So it's not like it's a huge sample size, obviously, this year so far, but I love what he's doing. And he's not afraid to just go with the fastball. If he's not confident in his other pitches, he's not trying to force it. He's just trying to go get outs. And I love that. All right, that's it. Talking Friars episode 589. Hopefully everybody enjoyed the show. Thank you so much for watching, listening. I appreciate the support, and I'll see y'all later.